in chapter 1. And we're going to begin by reading verses 26 to 45 in the first chapter of Luke. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I just want to take a moment to share a couple thoughts before we continue. Did you know that the name Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word netzer, and that means a shoot or a branch? Isaiah prophesied that a shoot will spring forth from Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Now, think about a family tree. What does it have? It has roots and it has branches. So Jesus' family tree has part of his descendants lived in Nazareth. Such was the name of the community. So continuing in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." That sticks out to me. Nothing is impossible with God. Just believe. Just believe in the word. It is for us today. And Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, I just want to take another moment to say something. What if Mary would have said no? Did you ever think about that? You know, each one of us has to choose. We either say yes or no. She had to choose to let the Holy Spirit come upon her that she could carry the Son of God. So at verse 39, "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea." Now I want you to stop and think about that. Mary lived in Galilee. She's traveling to Judea. That's like traveling to a different state, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greetings reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for being such a heavenly Father, that you love us so much, that you came down to this earth and was planted in the womb of a young teenage girl. That is hard to fathom and understand, Lord. But we love you so much, and we just ask that you give us a heart that hears you as we learn of how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. So point number one, Mary was courageous. Mary was a young woman. She was a teenager, and she had a beautiful character. You know, in Jewish culture, when you became 12 and a half up, you were eligible to be betrothed, which means to be engaged or to be married. So they figure Mary was probably around 14. So think of this young gal, a woman of uncommon character. She was not looking for fame. Mary was intent on obedience to God. And because of that character, Mary's story has been written down in the scripture. Now I want you to think about the journey to see her cousin Elizabeth. You know, Nazareth was about 80 miles from Hebron. I don't know about you, but I always pictured Mary kind of going a couple of miles or whatever. I never thought about an 81-mile journey. And Nazareth is on a mountain. It's kind of like on a jagged cliff area. And even when you're in Nazareth, the streets are hilly. And we have first, you know, hand account, we were blessed to be able to go to Nazareth. And so I can understand what it must have been like for her. And Hebron is also on a mountain. And so this was treacherous for a young, newly impregnated woman. So for a young Jewish maiden to take this hard and perilous journey was a course of action beyond precedent. I don't even think I could feel like walking from Elcester to Hawarden. You know, there's some hills. I don't even think I would want to do that. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. She had said yes to his proposal. It was expected that Mary would stay modestly at home. But in Jewish culture, you know, a woman betrothed was not expected to go on a trip. But she was expected to stay at home and prepare for the coming of her groom. Kind of like the church, we are the bride of Christ, and we are in the process of preparing for the return of Jesus, our groom. What a day that will be. Not only was Mary an obedient woman of God, she had the gift of courage. Even in the difficulties of life, she could set them into music. Mary would pass through many dark and dreadful days, beginning with the open shame of being pregnant. Joseph's heart was broken, as if a sword had pierced his heart. There was only one course of action left for him, and that was to revoke the marriage contract and put her away. How his heart must have been torn in two. For Mary had been, for him, the woman of all women. She was the lily among thorns. Yes, Mary, in her obedience to the Most High, was courageous. Point number two, Mary's faithful journey to Hebron to see Elizabeth. Mary's journey from Nazareth to Hebron gave her time to contemplate all that was going on within her. Only God and an angel from heaven knew the truth about the babe in her womb. Her own heart must have been full of wonder as she went to the mountains of Judea, to a city called Hebron, to spend time with her relative Elizabeth. It is to this meeting that we owe the wonderful song of Mary, the Magnificat, which became the first New Testament hymn. To Mary and Elizabeth, we owe the Magnificat. It is the spirit of prophecy that moved her to sing such a beautiful spiritual song, a song that is filled with the treasury of Old Testament prophecies that she had learned and studied. She was a young woman who knew the scriptures. It gives us another glimpse of Mary as she sings praises to her Lord God. Point number three, Mary sung the Magnificat. And we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. We're going to break it down into four parts. The expectant Mary had burst into song while visiting Elizabeth, the mother-to-be of John the Baptist, who would come in the spirit of Elijah, preparing the way of the Lord Jesus. Both women carried miracle babies. Elizabeth was expecting in her old age, and Mary was pregnant without the intervention of a human father. So four parts, we're going to break down the song of Mary, and we're going to first look at verses 46 to 48. And these are just a shining example of both praise and submission to God. 46. She is pure understanding of who God is and of who she was in comparison to him. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Secondly, we will look at 49 through 50. Here she describes what God is like. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him." And third, we will continue in verses 51 through 53. After her description here of God, she marveled the intimate concern for the details of her life. If she can marvel that God did this for her, shouldn't we know that he cares about the details of each of our lives? "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." And finally, she reflected back on God's covenant with Abraham. Our God keeps his word. 54 through 55. "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." So point number four, Mary, blessed among women. God had chosen Mary among all the women who would ever would live to bear his son. It was a one-of-a-kind privilege. Elizabeth was right when she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But Mary was caught in an awkward position of being pregnant and unmarried, and in a culture of her day, it was an utter disgrace. Yet even in her disgrace, her response to God was remarkable. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." More than anything else, Mary wanted to honor God more than herself and her own life. Even though she was vulnerable because of the ridicule she would always face, her joy was firmly planted in God, not in the opinion of others. So how does her faith and character affect our lives today? Circumstances change daily, and there is always a possibility that God, or I should say people, they don't understand us. Only God can. So our desire should be that of Mary's. Our desire must be that God's influence grows larger in our souls as our joy stays firmly planted in God. Emmanuel God with us. No matter what the circumstances, our joy and peace must be firmly planted in him. Mary sang a prophetic song of praise given to her by the Holy Spirit. One of the most remarkable aspects of Mary's song is that of her knowledge of the scriptures and of her Jewish heritage. She truly knew him of whom she sang. Mary trusted and loved her God and was not devastated at the harsh words of others. You know, people nowadays, if you get canceled on your, you know, messaging, you know, it hurts people. It hurts you. She was not devastated by harsh words. Even in her teenage years, she had read and memorized the Word of God. She took comfort in the truth she had discovered in the Word. In the same way, when we face difficulties in this life, it is our knowledge of God and his ways that sustain us. We find him as we study the pages of Scripture. The more you get to know him, the more natural it becomes to recall his promises and to give control to him. We must know his word. We need to, when we have a voice that speaks in our internal being, we have to recognize whether it's the voice of God, the voice of the enemy, or our own voice. It was upon the word that her heart welled up as she sang. She was not looking to be worshiped, but to be a worshiper. She revealed to the world piety and beauty. Mary, the mother of the Christ, leads us to the Savior that she carried. She was not seeking queenly dignity, but of a praying woman who also needed a Savior. For all her wonderful ministry to Christ, we love her and adore the Lord who chose her. Like her, in prayer, we turn to him by whom we live and in him whom we hope to die. Whose is the only name given among men whereby we may be saved? Jesus Christ, the Lord, who came as a babe, the Lamb who was slain, who is coming again as King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to take away the sin of the world so that we could live eternally with him. You know, the shepherds who came to see him were the special shepherds who were right outside. Their field was right out from the temple of God. And they raised the lambs that would be giving their life in the temple. They were the perfect lambs that would be slain. Jesus came and was born in a stable, was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which are the the things, the cloths that they use to wrap newborn baby lambs. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. And in every way, the Lord showed us who he is and why he came from the very beginning. Do you know him? Are you ready for his return? Jesus is the gift of all gifts. We just need to open our heart and receive him as our Lord and Savior. Not just know who he is, but to know him personally. He is the reason we celebrate. Jesus is the Christ of Christmas. He is available every day throughout the year to meet our needs, to listen to us as we pray. He is Emmanuel, God with us, in the person of Jesus Christ, who dwells in us so that we might live his life through us. We are the light that shines in the darkness when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us always to remember. Always to remember why we celebrate and give gifts to one another. It is a celebration of the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us for going about rushing and doing things to prepare for family and friends and just to go here and there. And we forget that you are the reason that we're buying those gifts. Even as we look, Lord, at the beautiful Christmas trees, help us remember that your Son, Jesus, came and died at the tree, on the tree of Calvary, to take away our sins. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.